Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This program is recorded.
Welcome to EMS Live in Wisconsin. Today is Tuesday, June 14, 2016. This is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. I'm very pleased to be joined by our president of the association, Patrick Ryan. Hey, Patrick, good morning. Welcome to another show.
Thanks, Joe. Good morning. Good to be here.
Well, today is I look forward to today for a long time, and it's because of our conversation. It's very timely, of course. We've got a lot of activity happening in the world of community paramedicine. There's a lot of traction that's attempting to be gained from the legislative perspective, which is the next big effort. And as a part of the whole community paramedicine initiative, Milwaukee Fire Department, as well as other departments in Green Bay and Madison, and several in Milwaukee County, have been a part of this community paramedicine work, kind of setting the ground effort for what could happen here on a much larger statewide basis. So Milwaukee Fire Department has been very, very involved, and very shortly we'll be bringing in Captain Michael Wright, as well as two individuals that the department is working with. We'll be pleased to introduce all of them here shortly. Patrick, I know there's been some activity, or at least some conversations taking place in Madison at the state capitol on community paramedicine. Can you offer an update as to where we're at right now?
Sure, Joe. Approximately two and a half weeks ago, we reconvened many of the stakeholders, including PAW, PFFW, the fire chiefs. We also included other healthcare agencies such as the Wisconsin Hospital Association, the Wisconsin Medical Society. We had individuals from DHS, including the department head. Our legislators that have been really taking the lead on this, Representative Loudenbeck, and Katrina Shankland from the Stevens Point area. They have both really expressed a great support for this concept and have really taken the lead legislatively. We did work with them last session. We really just ran out of time as we got to the end of the session, and we needed to kind of get the group that we did get together. We needed to have that to kind of all hash out some of the details of how this should look and could look. And I really came away from that meeting very positive and thinking that we are all on the same page. It became clear that some more changes just with the EMS statutes in general need to take place to enable us to go forward with the community paramedicine legislation. Many of the concepts that we had discussed at length last year at this time will be a part of the legislation, including both community paramedic and community EMT. But we just need to get everybody there together to be able to discuss viewpoints, coming from different sides of the angle. But I think we got it. We gained a great understanding, really, of what this is all about. And we got the large stakeholders to really hear it firsthand of how this should look. And including Kim Litwack was there from UW-Milwaukee. She was, I think it was a great addition to have her there so she could really talk about the training program firsthand. And I think it really provided some clarity to the discussion. So the plan is we'll have some draft legislation that should come out here in the next month or so, allow everybody to take a look at it, to give feedback, and to further hone that so that, again, as I said earlier, once the new session starts after the first of the year, we can get that legislation introduced and hopefully passed.
Very good. Thank you, Patrick, for that update. And as we kind of transition here into our program and our guests, I just want to provide some comments. Also, Milwaukee Fire Department has positioned community paramedicines as a means to be really proactive and address its high-risk population, the high utilizers. And we'll be chatting with Captain Michael Wright with the Milwaukee Fire Department. He and others within the department have really championed the concepts that go along with community paramedicine and mobile integrated healthcare. And now the data is in, and so Michael's going to be sharing with us what they've realized so far and what the numbers are telling them. As well, Michael has invited a couple guests to join him on the program, agencies that he's closely worked with, which include working with Ibrahim Masala, who is the interim president at Hayat Pharmacies, and Lynn Krifke, who is the director at Health Plan Clinical Services with Children's Community Health Plan. Part of our discussion this morning includes Captain Wright announcing publicly for the first time the new Community Paramedicine Initiative with Lynn Kripke's group. So we will also be inviting your questions here during our conversation. So if you do have a question and you're listening to us on the phone, just press number one on your keypad. Patrick is monitoring our email inbox. You can send us an email to emslive@paw.us. Today's program will run 30 minutes. It is sponsored today by EMS World Expo Conference, Cardiotronics, and Jefferson Fire and Safety. I'd like to also share this with you. The folks at EMS World Conference sent this to us. They'd like to share it with our listeners that you can join thousands of EMS professionals in New Orleans October 3 to 7 at the largest EMS conference and trade show in North America. PAW has partnered with EMS Expo. We're proud to do this and provide our members and EMTs and paramedics and so on throughout the state with a $100 discount on the three-day conference and free exhibit hall passes. Again, it's in New Orleans, October 3 to 7. Just use promo code PAW, P-A-A-W, when you register. The website to register is emsworldexpo.com. Again, that's www.emsworldexpo.com. You're listening to EMS Live in Wisconsin. We'll bring our guests into the conversation. We're chatting about community paramedicine. We'll be back after these brief messages.
Frustrated with EMS equipment breakdowns? Is equipment sitting on the shelf waiting to get repaired only to be left with an unreliable backup, having to chase down or wait for a repair technician? If so, there's a simple fix. Cardiotronics is a single-source service maintenance provider dedicated to EMS equipment. They service several Wisconsin customers already. Besides repairing your equipment, they'll create a formalized maintenance program. They have three main objectives: reduce costs, improve reliability of your equipment, and minimize service events. Contact Craig Harmon at Cardiotronics today at 855-433-3427 or find them on the web at cardiotronicshealth.com. Make Cardiotronics your next service call.
EMS Live in Wisconsin is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. To speak with the co-hosts or guests during the live show, dial 646-929-1081 and press number 1 on your keypad, or send an email to emslive@paaw.us. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Cavelli, joined by Patrick Ryan. I'm pleased to bring our guests into the program. Captain Wright, as we were kind of going through things, I was thinking you've got to be like a racehorse ready to come out of the gates. Do I have that right?
Sure. There's a little excitement. I'd admit that. Yes.
Very good. Well, I'd like to have you, if you wouldn't mind, introduce those organizations that are with us. I know that you invited them. You work very closely with their organization. So if you wouldn't mind introducing Ibrahim and also Lynn for our listeners.
Absolutely. So with Hyde Pharmacy, which has an amazing presence in the city of Milwaukee and has displayed their desire to be active in the community, we formed a partnership with them earlier this year where they've been nothing but stunning, where they avail a pharmacist to go out on visits with us. They help us with medication reconciliation, even provide medications for our patients. And they do it all free of charge. And truly, it's easier to get a doctor than it is a pharmacist. So having that at our disposal has been a blessing. And then Lynn from the Children's Community Health Plan, you know, most people may not know that Children's Hospital has a health plan arm, and Lynn is the clinical manager there. And we've been working very close with Lynn and the team over at Children's Hospital to try to forge a partnership where we can help with some sustainability issues and also help them with some of their patients, which happen to coincidentally be ours as well. So that's how our relationships began.
Very good. Thank you, Michael, for that introduction. I know department has been very involved with community paramedicine. We look forward to hearing from all of you here very soon regarding the efforts. Do you want to go ahead and lead us off here with what has changed with Milwaukee Fire Department since our last update? I also know you want to share some data that you recently would like to announce or recently received and would like to share with us this morning.
Yeah, so, I mean, since our last update, I mean, things have been pretty hectic, and they've been going along at a pace. We've kind of put a governor on the pace to make sure we were trying to get it right. But since our last update, we have an engine house, Engine 4, which is dedicated to mobile integrated health, where there's an engine, a ladder truck, and a med unit there, and we house the vast majority of our community paramedics on all three shifts. And we worked through the operational details of that, and in March we started seeing patients. And so we coined the phrase SRA, which is scheduled resource allocation. So the thing we're pushing internally is that there isn't a rig that's out of service, which would mean that they're not being utilized. It's just that we're reallocating the resources in a scheduled manner to manage the needs of the community just in a different way. So we've been doing that since March, and we concluded our pilot program the beginning of January, and we were waiting for 6 months post pilot program to start tabulating outcomes. So we looked at these patients and their utilization of 911 the 6 months prior to October, and then 6 months post. And so the October numbers came in, and then November numbers came in. And, you know, overall, it's been a pretty amazing drop in their usage. The vast majority of them have dropped either, you know, greater than 75%. There's outliers, and, you know, this is dealing with high utilizers and behavior modification. It's not an easy sell. And we have some people whose utilization actually went up, and that's okay. And the thing is that we understand that our program for the 4 visits in 30 days doesn't necessarily fix everyone's problems, but it's a good start, and we're making modifications from that. And just for everyone's edification, you know, we have stayed within our scope of practice. We stayed in we changed our operational plan at DHS to reflect what we're doing, and so we're moving forward. We entered into a business associate agreement with Hyatt Pharmacy to provide these services and have the ability to exchange protected information back and forth. Also with Children's Community Health Plan as well, so we can share information. And the beauty of this collaboration with Children's is that they have information that we've never been able to see because we're not traditionally a part of healthcare. And we have information that they can't see because our dispatch data and how many times we've seen their patient typically differentiates from what they've seen. And so those are the kind of things we're looking at. And so for the 2 months that we've gotten data back for, I'm pretty happy with the outcomes, and I'm happy to see that some people actually got worse, which is okay, and it tells us that we have more work to do. But I think we're headed in the right direction. So that's kind of what we've done up to this point. And, you know, we're just trying to hone our skills and be patient and, you know, peel back the layers of the onion as best we can.
Very good. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that information. I'd like to ask Ibrahim, too, how they see their work as the pharmaceutical arm of this effort, tying in with what you're doing at Milwaukee Fire Department. Ibrahim, good morning and welcome. Can you fill us in on what you're doing at Milwaukee Fire Department and how this is all working, and what are some of the things that you've realized?
Well, first of all, good morning. And basically, I think what has happened with the Milwaukee Fire Department is that they say heroes come from places that you wouldn't really expect, and that's kind of what has happened with the Milwaukee Fire Department. Our goal and our mission has always been to help the community, to assist the people that are technically underserved. A lot of the abuse with the medication has been from under education, and we've personally tried to reach out and teach people, you know, help as much as we can. This is again in accordance to our mission and our goal as a pharmacy. And then when the Milwaukee Fire Department and Captain Wright reached out to us, it was like, you know, a match made in heaven, as I would like to say, because they had a plan. They had a way of finding these people that really needed help, and we were just ready to help, honestly. We aligned in the mission. We aligned in the goal. I think that we had some resources that they needed to really achieve their goal, as well as they had the resources that we needed. to achieve our goals. And since both the missions and the ideas were aligned, it seemed like a great partnership. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that I'm hearing from Captain Wright is just really just awesome to hear, you know.
Very good. Patrick, did you have a question at all?
Not at this point yet. Anxious to hear more.
Yeah, Captain Wright, how can you elaborate a little bit further to how this all connects with the pharmacy component and what maybe some of the things were that you were up against and kind of how that flow works? And I'm just trying to understand it, especially if you look at applying this at the local level across, you know, many different types of platforms with how EMS is delivered in the state.
Okay. Well, you know, in keeping with everything that we've been talking about throughout the state of community paramedicine, just being healthcare navigators and looking for an expanded role versus an expanded scope, you know, if there's something that you don't do particularly well or it's not in your scope, you find someone that does it. And we don't have the expertise to do true medication reconciliations or to be able to access patients' records of what medications they currently have, don't have, or the ability to get them new prescriptions. So working with Hyatt, they totally opened up a world that we never had access to, where they actually work with the patients, and the patients don't have to be customers at Hyatt, either going into it or after they work with them. And literally every time that we see a patient, they have issues. I have a contact at Hyatt, Demi, who's my favorite person in the world, and I say, hey, can you go make this visit at such and such time? And she would be there and meet our crews and go into the home with the patients, go through their medications, look them up in their system, and then they will actually contact their PCP if necessary to help them get new medications, the cheaper medication, or take them off of medications. And that's just, quite frankly, something that we can't do, nor do we want to do it. And having experts with that type of firepower behind them has been a blessing. And on top of that, they introduced us to that they have this machine that does bubble packs, where the patient can give them their list of medication instead of a grocery bag full of medications. And this machine can put their medications in individually wrapped packs designating whether it's morning, noon, or night. They can put their picture on it, so if mom and dad both have medications, they don't get them confused, and they will repackage them and deliver them for free. So I don't want it to be overstated about the heroism or whatever case in Milwaukee Fire Department for them to bring that to bear and offer it up for free and truly out of the goodness of their heart has been amazing. And they've worked with us in the homeless shelters. Every time we go there, they have Demi, PharmD, and then some of the students and whatnot there to help with patients in the homeless shelters reconcile or have their medications delivered. So, you know, kudos to them.
Absolutely. Thank you for the additional detail. If you do have a question and would like to be brought into the program, just press number 1 on your phone keypad. If you are listening via the internet, it is being streamed live, of course. You can send an email to emslive@paw.us. I see we do have a question from someone from the 262 area code. I've brought you into the program live. Go ahead with your question. Good morning. Hello, did you have a question from area code 262?
Sorry, I had to unmute my phone.
I have
a question for Captain Wright. Nick Hempel from Racine Fire Department. We're working on a frequent flyer program, a frequent user program, if you will. And one of the challenges that we have is participation. Seems like we're running maybe 20% of the people we contact that want to participate. How were you able to overcome some of those issues with participation?
Okay, so quite frankly, you don't overcome them. So the one thing, and I've had quite the education, and the mistakes that we've made along the way help us hone the skills. So the people that are high utilizers, you know, we cold call them, we visit them, and the original conversation was, hey, this is Milwaukee Fire Department. We want to enroll you in a program because we see that you've used 911 a fair amount, and we're seeing that you're not getting what you need, and we want to help you get it. Well, in one way or form, to that patient, it made them feel like you're saying that I'm abusing the system. And truthfully, that isn't what we're saying. We're saying you're not getting what you need. We want to help you. But when we started working with American Lung and we're looking at asthmatics, you know, the conversation was, hey, we're calling because you are diagnosed with asthma. We're working with American Lung, and we want to help you work with your condition. And the response was infinitely greater. So our new tactic is for the high utilizer is not even to mention that. It's just basically to say, hey, we see that you, whatever they are, we see that you're a diabetic, and we have a program that's aimed at helping diabetics get better, which is the truth. I mean, we're just parsing it. And our goal is to get you into the system. We have a free program, and we're going to come and visit you and take care of you. And I feel that that little shift in semantics should make a big difference.
Maybe we'll give that we'll look at giving that a try. I know that right now, because of the low participation that we're getting, it's hard to get accurate data or meaningful data from the program.
And so I'll tell you and that's going to be because you're mining your own people, and that's what we did. And the thing that I'm excited about what we're announcing on this program is our collaboration with Children's Community Health Plan, is because they have the data. They have the information. So, you know, proving your worth with how many ever patients you get one way or the other is what we did, and we presented that to the health plan. And so now we're entering into a pilot program with them, and we actually worked out, and it's a very exciting time for myself, and I'll be perfectly transparent that to work out a deal per se or an agreement with a health plan to help provide some funding to help us with sustainability and help them with their bottom line and the triple aim, and we all know that, is I'm excited to get to work with them and see how much easier life could be without me having to dig up all of the information. So the partnership with someone that has that information should make life a little easier, but the job at hand should still be the same.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your time and your input.
No worries.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for calling in today and asking a question, too. If you do have a question, you're listening over the phone, press number one. And if you're on the internet, you can shoot us an email at emslive@paw.us. Michael, it sounded like you kind of tipped us off a little bit here with your announcement. Am I to kind of sense that a little bit?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, we've been working with a lot of different partners, and I don't want to slight anyone. You know, American Lung Association, Wisconsin Health Alliance, you go on, Asthma Coalition, Children's, United Healthcare, and you know, the thing that we realize is that, you know, relationships is a two-way street, and I want to introduce Lynn, as we've worked together through some BA, some business associate agreement issues, some memorandum of understanding issues, because it's non-customary for us as a fire department to enter into the agreements with the private sector. So there were some bugs we worked out with that. But, you know, like I said, I'm very pleased to announce that Children's has the faith in our process to give us an opportunity to help us with their patients and to see if the process works. And so I guess you're absolutely right. I'm proud to introduce Lynn to see her point of view of why, you know, why us, and hopefully this will be a long-standing relationship, and we're going to do everything we can to meet their needs.
Lynn, can you explain? Good morning, Lynn. Do you mind sharing with us the partnership that Michael just announced, and we look very forward to learning more about?
Sure. We were very impressed with the work that Michael and his team were doing with the Milwaukee Fire Department. We have a large membership in Milwaukee County of very high-risk members. And, you know, the paramedics are in the community. They're well-trained, they're trusted, and they're reputable. And so that's really why we were impressed with their work, that we decided to partner with them.
What do the details entail, if I may ask?
Well, we're going to start out with a pilot of about 10 members that have several comorbid conditions. They frequently use the emergency department. They've had several readmissions into the hospital. And so they're very high-risk members that we've had difficulty actually locating and working with. And so Michael and I have looked at those members, and I think he's pretty close to ready to move forward and begin contacting them.
Very good. Michael, do you want to elaborate from your perspective?
Absolutely. So, you know, once we, you know, the education process for me is, like I said, I'm learning from Lynn and others that are in the business of healthcare and trying to humbly navigate how we can meet. And the one thing that I learned really fast is that the healthcare system has a floor, whereas if the patient doesn't come in on their own or come in through the ED, that's probably the extent of their interaction. They can reach out and make phone calls. And where we help them with the floor is that we deal with them all the way, you know, beneath that, whether it's the emergency response, the transport to the ED. But, you know, digging through this pile of how do you locate a patient, and I found that that is the number one concern of everyone that I've spoken to, whether it's county, behavioral health, Lynn, whomever, is that most of the time we can't find our patients, and it is difficult. And I'll tell the other EMS providers out there, the thing that we have that other providers don't have, and no one else can actually get it, is we have access to dispatch data. And so we've drilled back into our EPCR records and then calling the people from, you know, this and then going to their last pickup location versus their home address. We found some patients that way. But the one thing that is always accurate is dispatch data. The patient will illuminate where they are every time they use 911. And if that's their only form of health care, at some point in time they will tell us where they are, and then we can actually retroactively go back through that information and try to provide them with the service. So the partnership between Lynn, myself, and Hyatt is also included in this partnership, because we're going to, you know, leverage all of our friendship to help make this patient better. And access to their information is going to be invaluable to me, and access to our dispatch data and physically locating the patients and reaching out to them and having them sign a joint consent form so that they're giving children's access to us and also giving us access to them. I think it's going to be interesting to see, because we're connecting the dots from top to bottom. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how well it works. And even if it isn't 100% successful, it has to be better than what we're doing now. So success to me is, as long as we make connections and do things that hasn't been capable prior to this point, that's a success.
It seems like, Michael, you and your counterparts at Milwaukee Fire Department and the agencies that you're bringing into this, the companies that you're working with and so on, it seems to me that you've cracked the code. And I know that you started with high utilizers. You then looked at the high mortality rate for infants in your service area. You looked at diabetics. You looked at those with health history issues in your high-volume utilizers and so on. It seems to me you've cracked the code, and I'm real interested to know what some of the most difficult aspects in the efforts have been in building the program. But before you answer that, I just want to take a real quick break, and our conversation is going to continue with Michael at Captain Wright at Milwaukee Fire Department, as well as we're inviting your calls and your emails, and it looks like we'll probably go over our time limit a little bit here, but this is a great conversation, and we surely want to maximize our time. This is EMS Live in Wisconsin. Our conversation continues in about 30 seconds.
This program is sponsored by Jefferson Fire and Safety, providing high-quality equipment and service to fire, EMS, and police agencies from across Wisconsin, and manufacturer's representative for Lifeline Ambulances. Find them on the web at jeffersonfire.com.
Don't miss a beat of Wisconsin EMS action. Listen to EMS Live or download any previous show on demand in the archive. And now back to the program.
Michael, I kind of left you there with a little teaser. We do have to pay the bills, you know, and I wanted to ask you the question after the break, so I hope you didn't mind.
No, that's fine.
Okay, there you go. This is also a live broadcast, and we do have to pay the bills. So, I wanted to ask you, your department has been doing this a while, the past year or so, and you've realized some things along the way. You've brought in key partnerships to build the program. You started looking with high utilizers. You identified some key areas. What have been some of the harder or more difficult aspects as you've built the program?
You know, I would say the education of our members. And the formal education at UWM College of Nursing is great. But, you know, EMS has been protocol driven since we came into the fire service. And our members are accustomed to step one, step two, outcome three. And in this environment, what I'm trying to foster with our members is the use of imagination. And so that, you know, most medical directors are like, whoa, we don't need imagination, but we're not physically performing any procedures. We're not starting an IV. So the imagination is, and there's no way to give everyone every option or what's going to happen is like, if you encounter this situation, you have to be imaginative and figure out how to connect the dots. And so detuning us from the emergency work into a more linear clinical assessment and connecting dots, whether it's behavioral, whether it's food, whether it's eyeglasses or whatever the case may be, that's been a challenge. And secondly, because we work on a three-shift platform, getting the information across the shifts. And I think we figured out how to make sure, because everyone that knows about the fire service is that red, green, blue. If I don't work the next day, and we're accustomed to coming to the firehouse and starting over every day, where everything continually gets taken care of when you're gone. Whereas in this world, everything continues and it carries over. And that's been probably my biggest challenge, figuring out how to consistently get information shared across the shifts, make it accurate, and getting people to do things consistently.
Future look like for you all at Milwaukee Fire Department with CP and MIH?
It's going to still be painful. It is. We're not done. We're not happy with how things are. You know, there's still work to be done, and it's not perfect. And so I don't want anyone out there that's listening to think, hey, you guys got it figured out. It's a work in progress, and through the partnerships and the willingness of the people that have come to help us, which is humbling and flattering, we still have work to do. And so I'm sure we'll discover some things working with Lynn and the Children's Community Health Plan and with our other partners as our future grows. And I hope that we can get to the point where our program is sustainable. And my definition of sustainability is not paying for a firefighter for 24 hours a day, because we're not going to perform community paramedic services 24-hour day, but paying for a firefighter or a paramedic for the time that we utilize them in a community paramedic capacity. So that's my goal. And this partnership with Children's Community Health Plan and Hyatt and some partnerships waiting in the wings is the first step towards doing that.
Well, congratulations on what you've accomplished thus far, Captain Wright, at Milwaukee Fire Department. To you and your colleagues, thank you very much for the effort that you've placed on this. It really has been a guiding beacon for, I think, many throughout the state to see what has been developing over the last several months with your department and how you're taking the concepts and applying them to your utilization areas, the high utilizers and so on that you're addressing. Before we start to conclude things, Ibrahim or Lynn, is there anything else that you thought of as the conversation moved forward here that you'd like to make sure we discuss?
Nothing from me. I'm just excited that we are going to get started on this. I think we'll have some key learnings, and we'll see where it goes.
Very good. Thank
yes,
you for sharing your time this morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say the same. I mean, I didn't have anything extra. I was just excited to move forward and keep going at it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the work that you're doing to help those in your community and specifically working with Milwaukee Fire Department. I must say, Captain Wright, you are establishing a template for others within the CP initiative to look at and look to emulate. So congratulations on the work that you're doing.
Oh, and thank you. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that, you know, none of this would have been possible without the green light from Chief Rolfing to allow me to do this and just have the support of the command staff of the Milwaukee Fire Department and the city leaders to do this. So none of this is possible without their authorization and support and vision.
Very good. Well, we sure invite you back again as we have updates. We've done updates periodically with you, and when you have another opportunity to share the great work that's happening there, we'd sure invite you back to the program.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, thank you. Everyone have a good day. I did want to mention that the Wisconsin EMS Honor Guard is working with the National EMS Memorial Service and the Muddy Angels Bicycle Ride. They're bringing their route through the Midwest area to honor fallen Wisconsin providers. The ride goes from Illinois north through Appleton, Green Bay area, and then west from La Crosse through Ellsworth, River Falls, Hudson, up by my area, actually, and then leads into Woodbury, Minnesota, where the huge celebration is to end the Midwest tour. And so we wanted to make sure that you're aware of this. You might see them along the route or be willing to support their efforts or even get a bike out and ride with them either part of the way or the entire way. If you'd like more information, you can refer to the PAW homepage, paaw.us. Under the news section, we have a link to the Muddy Angels Midwest route information that is, again, to support the National EMS Memorial Service. Patrick, anything before we wrap things up today? Anything else?
No, I'm just really, really impressed by what they're doing there. I think the key is we're getting partners together that have not, you know, been partners before. I think that's just huge. And I think that's really, you know, if you narrow it down to one common theme that we need to look to is we need to look to others in the healthcare field that we haven't worked with before, but that all have the same outlook on patient care. And I think that's really a key going forward, but they've just done a tremendous job.
I agree with you 100%. So it was great to have the conversation today. We had several people listening on the phone. I can only only imagine what it was like on the internet. So we appreciate your listenership today. Our next program is Tuesday, June 28th, starting at 9 a.m. Our guests include Gold Cross Ambulance Executive Director Mark Fredrickson. Mark is with, again, Gold Cross Ambulance up in the Neenah, Menasha, Appleton area. And Dr. Marv Birnbaum. Dr. Birnbaum is a longstanding emergency physician. He was the medical director at the City of Madison for a number of years and also continues to work at UW Health. Dr. Birnbaum and Mark Fredrickson will join us. The conversation is regarding EMS regionalization. EMS regionalization. I know this can has been kicked around a lot, but we'd like to bring it back up because there's a new legislative council that's been established at the state capitol, which is looking to address the shortages of EMS personnel throughout the state. It's kind of come to a tipping point. And Patrick, I don't recall a legislative council for EMS in many, many, many years. So this obviously has the attention of our elected officials, and it's time for us to start thinking about what's next for EMS and how we're going to deliver the high standards of care that are required today.
Yeah, that's certainly true. We need to seize the opportunity here now, and I know PAW has been active on that front and will continue to be going forward. So definitely it's something that when we have the opportunity, we need to make sure that we're part of that process.
Yes, absolutely. So that's what our conversation is going to be about on June 28th. We sure invite your listenership. Again, Mark Fredrickson and Dr. Merv Birnbaum will be discussing EMS regionalization. EMS Live in Wisconsin is streamed live via the phone and internet the second and fourth Tuesday every month. Today's program was recorded and will be available shortly on the PAW homepage at paaw.us. This is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. On behalf of Patrick Ryan, our president, and our guest today, thank you very much for listening to today's program. We wish you a great week, and we'll look forward to chatting again on June 28th. Have a good day.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.